You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
Welcome to a brand new episode of The Cooligans. I am here, but I am not solo, okay? As always, Christian Polanco is always here. I mean, that's just the consistency. I'm a solid player, bro.
You're 6 out of 10, 7 out of 10, 7 and a half.
I'm
every
reliable,
game.
Okay? You know, what do they say? You have to, you don't make it if you're not playing. I don't know. You're healthy, you're not playing.
That was the worst of times. There's some sort of
sports analogy that fits with exactly what I'm talking about right now that would inspire you if I could remember what it was. but unlike Alexis is always injured. He's always out of the game. Okay.
The best ability is availability.
There we go. There it is. That's why we brought you on board, Miguelito.
Got you. Always here for you.
So welcome to a brand new episode of The Cooligans. But I'm joined by a dear friend who is subbing in for Alexis Guerreros today, all the way from Kansas City. I don't know if he's on the Kansas City or Missouri side, but we will confirm in just a moment.
Please, everybody,
big round of applause for Kevincho.
Let's go. There's only one right side of Kansas City, and that's the Kansas side, baby. All right? I just lost all of my following just by saying that. Sorry, Alexis. Move over, baby, okay? You know how, like, Messi got subbed in against Cruz Azul? This is the sub that we're seeing right now.
This level of clutch. Is coming, bro. Okay? At the buzzer.
That's right.
Kevin, Kevincho, thank you so much for joining me. I just realized that the thing was muted before. Do you hear that now?
No, you could hear it before.
Oh, you could hear it before.
We're all good.
Okay. I wasn't sure. I thought the volume was too low. Oh, yeah. It was good. All right, good. So a lot to go over today because, you know, we have Kevincho here and we could focus all our energy on supporting Kansas City and their playoff hopes, but we will get to that in a little bit because when it comes to, when I got into Major League Soccer, I knew of supporting Kansas City. I watched games from time to time, but now I deeply care about supporting Kansas City and how they affect your mental health. So,
my God! Clip this at Sporting Kansas City. Let's go! I told you,
you've done an incredible job.
I don't know if that's quite what a club wants to hear. You know, I'm not sure if that's. They're not really growing the fan base, but I will take it. Thank you, Christian.
I always tell people, I'm like Kevincho. He yelled his way into my heart. Okay, it's quite impressive.
Thank you. Wow.
But because you know, Kevin, you've been on the show before, but and we all know you as the Sporting Kansas City guy, but also the Messi guy. And Lionel Messi is now officially out of playoff contention in Major League Soccer. And I haven't gotten a chance to talk to you about it, but let's just start with the fact that. Because I'm talking about Messi, please be on the lookout later on in this show because Messi in America, the new documentary that's available on Apple TV Plus, I interviewed the executive producer of the documentary, Scott Boggins. We're going to be you'll be hearing from him in just a little bit. So I just want to get everybody's mouth watered about Lionel Messi.
Yeah, a little tease. That's what we call it. Tease in the industry, baby.
This is the perfect man to do it. But Messi, because when you did the show, Messi was all rumors, but now that when he arrived and you were streaming Inter Miami matches, and even that was a controversial thing. Some people were like, why is he done with Sporting Kansas City?
Yeah.
But Lionel Messi's time arriving here in Major League Soccer, what, I mean, for you, who is, do you have Messi tattooed on your body? You have something.
Not yet. I got very, very close, but that is the next. My thing is like when he retires. And then I'm not going to be tattooing him with an Inter Miami jersey or anything wild, you know, but no, yeah, when he retires, I think, listen, when we were talking last, if I remember correctly, I felt like I was excited, and I was, and I am. It's awesome. I just, no shot I would have guessed the timeline of events that happened. Right. And now it's been like the weirdest mixed reaction for me and other, I think some other Argentinian fans, because that League's Cup start was insane. And for me, I was just eating it up. I'm like, yeah, we got Messi playing immediately. He's dying. He's over here getting in the faces with players and, you know, talking crap. It was amazing.
He's beating the teams that Sporting Kansas City can't beat.
Man, it's amazing. This is what it feels like, baby. Wow. It was awesome. And then I totally forgot that, there is a important league that actually takes place. And I totally was not thinking about just regular season play. And then I will say this, guys. I don't know what's going on with Lionel Messi, but there is some suspicious activity, okay? There is, I don't understand the injury stuff. You guys talked about this a lot on your show about the ticketing and the people being upset about, you know, pricing, which is rightly so. And then this weird, like, I'm not going to play these games because we probably overplayed them. And then also he goes back to Argentina, which is not a shock, but could be playing. It's like, what's happening?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just very frustrating. I don't know. On my end, at least.
It's obviously, we all care about his well-being for probably very selfish reasons. We're like, we're basically like, dance for us, Mungie. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's
real,
just ridiculous. Yeah. But, you know, I think for MLS fans, we don't know how long he's going to be in this. Or we sort of do know how long he's going to be in this league. And we're like, we need to extract every ounce of incredible free kicks and nutmegs and everything. Obviously, right now we're recording before Argentina's match against Paraguay. And the rumors are he's not starting. That's what that's what the reports are saying. That Lautaro Martinez and was it Julian Alvarez are going to be.
Yeah.
Are going to be starting together. Everybody's like, this is the first time que van a ser titulares, right?
Yeah.
Like it's going to be the starting.
Lose, do you understand the actual chaos that will happen? Like, we're not ready if he retire. It's going to be horrible all over again.
So, yeah, there is a lot of concern. I mean, after winning the World Cup, though, in Qatar, it is the same. I'm asking this question as I'm looking at a photo behind you of you holding Messi in your bosom. Mm-hmm. but is it still like a? Do you still need more from him? Does Argentina need more from him? Like, there's not much more he can contribute, right?
This is what's so annoying about Argentinians, and I will say it, and I will not be the first one to say it. It's like, we don't understand when we got it, bro. Like, we don't know that point. We don't get that. It's like,
right.
For me, I will say me personally, a different beast was awakened when we lost in 2014, a final. Because if it was a semifinal, it wouldn't feel the same. But like losing a World Cup final in what would have been amazing to win it against, or in the home of your biggest rivals, that taste in my mouth for like the last 8 years was just boiling over. So every little thing he did and everything that the country did, it was like a big deal. But then we got the Copa America, which I thought that was it, and then we won the World Cup. At that point, I'm like, I'm chilling, bro. Right now, I do not, you know, I have a friend that's from Uruguay. He's like, hey, bro, we're on the come up. I'm like, I hope you guys are, goddammit. Okay? I hope you guys destroy everyone, okay?
You're the closest to me.
You deserve it, baby.
You've earned it.
I'm starting to feel bad for my friends in yellow. You know, I've never felt bad for them. And now I'm like, it's been like almost 30 years since you guys won a World Cup. A long time. You know, it's like that feeling.
I went to Germany 2 years ago. And I went to in Dortmund, and was it? I don't remember. It was a year. I've lost track of time. I was in Dortmund, and I went to the German Fussball Museum, which is a great, a really awesome place. I highly recommend if anybody's ever in Dortmund or catching a Dortmund game, go to this museum. It's really, really cool. But they have a section dedicated for the German national team.
Ah,
and
great.
This 2014 World Cup is highly, highly highlighted.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
They have, you know, the sphere in Las Vegas,
yeah.
the MSG sphere. They have one inside the museum that is like tremendous. It takes up almost the entire room, and it's just videos of
it's just Götze scoring over and over.
Götze scoring.
Awesome.
They have what is it? They have the Mario Götze's boot. In encased in everything. They have pieces of the grass. Right. So it's just like, yeah, you get to see Messi heartbroken over and over on this giant globe.
I can't wait to visit. It's just like probably.
So if you're Argentinian, highly recommend you go check it out. So
yeah.
Look, this now that you know, we kind of have to wrap our heads around the fact that Messi's not going to be in the playoffs. Are the playoffs affected that negatively? I don't know. I think for us, look, we're MLS diehards. We're still going to watch regardless. But is it any is it a disappointment that is that big of a disappointment that Messi's not going to be in the playoffs? And is that going to affect the MLS playoffs in some way?
Yeah, I think I wish we went back to the mentality that we had, or at least I had a little right when he was when he announced like he's coming, and it was all this big hype. A lot of people were saying, "Listen, this team is terrible. They're not going to make the, let's just be real. Their chances of making the playoffs is so minimal." And then in my head, I'm like, okay, he gets used to the team. And then next season, let's go, or, you know, whatever. And then because of Leagues Cup, and that changed our whole mindset of like, oh, he needs to be performing like a legend every match, because they had that for the couple games. Then it's like, gave us a weird taste. Now we're like expecting Miami in the playoffs or whatever. I will say this, kind of glad that they're not in the playoffs right now, because they are not fun to watch.
No!
I mean, they are, I know unwatchable teams, okay? And that's not a, maybe that is a, I'm not going to say anything, okay? But I know bad. And they are not fun to watch. For me, personally, it's just like some of the most painful passing, and just, it looks, everyone looks lost, and it just looks horrible. Then I'm like, okay, they're not going to make the playoffs. Let's relax. Let's have this final season of like pure chaos, no messy drama. I want to see the real drama. I want to see Lucho, and I want to see, you know, Gazdag. I want to see these guys at least.
Yeah.
Ignore the,
I agree,
the
yeah.
noise.
We have to you know, for the people that are maybe, you know, new to MLS or not as invested as we are, like, we, yeah, I mean, I've experienced incredible heartbreak, you know, watching NYCFC get a red card in against Columbus Crew, and I'm just like, I and it's those things where, you know, a lot, and I like, you always talk about this and your passion about River Plate, and, you know, the following MLS as long as I have, now I get to have those days, those scars, those,
right.
Like, oh, I dislike the Columbus Crew because of blank, right? Because they have hurt me in this particular way. So, mm-hmm. So having those days of you know, heartbreak and joy are what build MLS character in their fan base. But I want to ask about Sporting Kansas City, because Sporting Kansas City they're not out of the playoffs, and I think the possibility to qualify. It's been a wild season for them, and you watch mm-hmm. them, you know, up much more and up close than I think a lot of people do. So I want to give them a little bit of you know, shine to some degree.
Yeah.
But their last match, I forgot who they played, but the red card.
One we played.
RSL?
RSL, was it the, yes.
RSL, and the early red card from Justin Glad, which was unreal.
Dude.
I think it said it was the second earliest red card ever in, I think, an MLS match or something along those lines. It was at 37 seconds, which is just so unbelievably impressive to make an error that early in the game.
I don't know if I could do that purposely. I would have to, you, and just call, you know, or something. I don't know.
But they end up winning the game 3-2. So still a little bit scary, but it puts Sporting Kansas City in 10th. They're 1 point behind FC Dallas. They have one game remaining. FC Dallas has two games remaining, but there's still a possibility. San Jose has one game remaining on 43 points, and Portland as well on 43 points. So it's not impossible that they end up in seventh place in the playoffs and right. skipping that like wild card game. But if they qualify, I mean, what does it mean for Sporting Kansas City season that started kind of so poorly? What would it mean in your eyes?
I know, like, after 3 months of having straight losses and really feeling like there's no chance that we're going to make the playoffs, and now we're on pretty much decision day, last day, where we could possibly make playoffs and maybe just get destroyed by St. Louis in the first round. It is a very weird feeling, because I'm talking to sporting fans, and they're like, I honestly hope we don't. We just don't make it. It's so weird. And then there's some people that's like a pride thing. I just want to make the playoffs so we can look good against our rivals. And like, oh, well, we made it too. You know, it's so weird. It's just, it's a different thing. I think, yeah.
They don't want SKC to qualify so that what happens? They get
because
rid of Vermees?
Because
I don't think that's happening.
That's not happening. No. I think it's like, you know, hibernation, time to relax and not think about it. It's like,
right.
You know. Well, maybe New York is in the same situation. It's like, okay, you guys could make playoffs, right? Are you guys?
Yeah, we have a chance. Yeah,
it's like, sorry, you guys can make playoffs, and then, but at the same time, you guys have had like the craziest shaky season, obviously compared to the season before and the seasons before that. That it's like, okay, we want to make playoffs because anything could happen. But then someone drops the stat of like, no team lower than like a 4 seed or whatever it is has made the finals. So it's like, ugh, do I really want to do like a week more of like getting pooped on by a division rival, you know?
There is that. I mean, that's like a bigger conversation, right? About like the expanded playoffs in Major League Soccer. And this is my biggest gripe. I don't really mind the expanded playoff. I don't like the best of three, or I don't mind the best of three in general. Yeah. I don't like the best of three in the first round.
Yes.
We're going to be watching the best of three
of the worst
Cincinnati
of three?
Against the worst team and whatever. St. Louis possibly against the worst team. Maybe maybe it's Sporting Kansas City. Who knows?
chill,
because it could be NYCFC in the Eastern Conference as well. But why do we have three of those? Why we could potentially have three of, and then maybe you have like the underdog of like, oh, how did Cincinnati lose to NYCFC, or how did he even get to this third game?
The Cinderella dream is what people are kind of interested in.
But you would imagine that it's gonna be two wins for that first place team, and the thought is that it's gonna be the least entertaining of all the playoff rounds. So that's like my biggest issue. Not that. I mean, put all 30 teams in the playoffs. Right? Like, yeah, I mean, but it's just do
Champions League, everyone, baby. Okay.
Just up is down, down is up.
You
who
cares? But we're not the only ones with this problem because, like, the Dodgers won 100 games straight and then just lost in the playoffs their first round, you know, first three games.
The Diamondbacks, bro.
Bro, you guys are not. You guys are sleeping on those Diamondbacks.
Bro, I haven't even said the words Arizona Diamondbacks in like probably 20 years, dude.
Yeah, for sure.
It is crazy.
Yeah, and so it's not like an only MLS. It's like maybe an American sport thing and whatever. But I guess let's just not be haters too early. This could be pure cinema, maybe. I don't know. It could be awesome.
I would love to be proven wrong. I mean, I was a fan of the single game elimination. I was also a fan of the two legs playoff series. Those were also really fun, and they add the element of goal differential and everything, and it was exciting. So prove me wrong. But if these first rounds are just like a nightmare, and where it's like 3-0, 4-0 victories in both matches, I'm like, all right, Tim Cook,
cut it.
We tried it.
Yeah.
We need to move on. we gave it a shot, but this ain't it.
Totally agree.
So, as always, look, you know, I'm honored always to bring you on the show because it allows for us to you know, get ready for the playoffs, and this fall is going to be quite exciting because the MLS playoffs are coming very, very soon, and it's the best time to chill, Kevincho.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, baby.
And, you know, it allows
I
me
know
to
it's coming.
to have you on the show and also use this button.
Oh my f***ing god!
Hell yeah, let's go.
Okay. What? I don't even have to tell you to say it. I just have
no,
the
it's
button
right there.
Because we can chill watching MLS playoffs. We can scream while watching MLS Cup playoffs while holding an ice cold Coors Light. Bro, that is always the move, all right? So Coors Light is you know, it's Coors Light is cold lagered. I gotta let Kevincho know because he may not know. Coors Light,
I don't know.
It's cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's literally made to chill. And that's the cool thing is the mountains turn blue when it's cold enough to drink. And you live near Colorado.
It's so right
you,
there, bro.
Do you see these mountains from where you are?
Let me see. Oh, are bro, like they're hella chill, dude. They're so chill.
Are you like, how blue are those mountains right
are you
now?
Like Sarah Palin that can see Russia from her house?
You know, anytime I step outside, I don't care if it's 6 a.m. right now, guys. I see those mountains, I get thirsty. I really do.
So Coors Light is the one we choose when we need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Cooligans. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Yeah. Let's go.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Another reminder, be on the lookout. We're going to be talking to Scott Boggins in just a little bit, executive producer of Messi Meets America on Apple TV Plus. We had an awesome conversation about, you know, that young upstart, Lionel Messi.
That new up-and-comer, baby.
I think he has a future in this game. America.
You know, I think this doc is really going to open a lot of people's eyes, really introduce him to this guy they never heard before.
They're going to be like, oh, whoa, he did what? He did where?
Okay. Only true foodie heads.
We were talking about MLS playoffs and upcoming decision day in about 2 weeks. But I want to talk about NWSL decision day because that is going to be this weekend. And you are also a person, a streamer that live streams NWSL matches, and you follow the Kansas City Current, who are going to be getting when's the stadium getting built?
Next soon, season, right? Is all for us, baby. New season,
dude.
New stadium.
It's gonna be great. I know it's really, really exciting. I believe it's the first soccer specific stadium for a women's team in like
That's
history
right.
or something along those lines, right?
It's period. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Great. Monumental. I can't wait to go check it out someday. So I want to talk about the NWSL standings because. We were talking about this a little bit off air before we started recording. But NWSL this season has been really impressive in that there's no team that has less than 20 points this season. So we haven't had like an objectively just like really, really
horrible.
Bad team week in, week out. It's been very, very competitive. The league is so good that even the good teams, you have no idea if they're going to win on any given day. And it's kind of frustrating because the playoff line is the point is so tight that you could literally like up until like 2 weeks ago, you could have been in first place and then this weekend not make the playoffs. Like it's that close. So we're not used to seeing anything like that usually, but Kansas City obviously they're done.
They're
officially out.
Yep.
But you've obviously watched and streamed a lot of the matches. You know, I'm paying attention a lot to Gotham FC. They have their final match of the season. They're on 30 points and can finish as high as third. They lost recently to Portland Thorns, and it's just it's one of those things where you watch some of these teams and you're just like, bro, you just need one win, yeah, right? Just one, and they can't secure some level of comfortability.
Oh,
just
so
getting,
you're starting to understand how that feels, Christian. Because I don't think
just one win, just for
our sanity. We just need one win.
But yeah. But what has this season been like watching the current for you and watching NWSL and the fact that it's so tight at the end of the season? What are your general thoughts? Leading into this decision day.
Well, I mean, with the current, I think I screwed myself right at the beginning because we were getting all these players, Dabinha announcement, then these like quality college draftees coming in, and I have to find the clip, but I swear to you, I was like, this could potentially be like PSG when they got Kylian and Messi and all I swear to you.
We got the Galacticos?
Galacticos, okay. Babe, we're about to kill these teams, dude. All we needed was one Brazilian. We got one. Well, then we got two later on. You know, it was like, wow, we're going to kill everyone. But, okay, fine. It crashed and burned pretty quick. We also had a coaching change. In the middle, like every other team, World Cup, all this stuff was going on, and it was very messy. So I'm not disappointed only because I'll tell you guys this, and I'll tell you, I will talk final decision day. But a lot of people ask me, like, how are you not this upset with the current as you are with Sporting? Like, why aren't you putting them on the same? Oh, don't worry, I am. One club has an incentive to get the best players they can get. Remove coaches that are not working out or whatever they need to do to better themselves, you know, for the future.
Yeah.
And another club is signing people for 5-6 years, people that have been here for many, many, many years. And it starts to feel like it's getting old and annoying and repetitive. At least next season, if they just look like the same terrible team. Sure. The temperature will rise. The pastiness will go towards red. But right now, I'm chilling. What is amazing about decision day is you guys have a gap. Oh my God. We have multiple teams that could just basically go, you have that feeling where they could just talk to each other and go, hey, if we tied today, we're both kind of cool, right? We're good. Like, we don't have to try too hard.
Little collusion never hurt nobody. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's the weird thing because it's so close that if you go too hard, like, oh, we need to win so we know we're safe, you leave gaps, you could have some crazy last-minute game winner, just shocking, you know, results. Or if you play it too safe, you could have the same thing. It is the best thing about everything going down to a final day. We love it in every league in the world, and NWSL will not disappoint, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, and then also all the matches are going to be happening October 15th at 5 p.m. Eastern time, right? Is that correct? Yeah, at the same time.
Yep.
Yeah. So this is going to be pretty intense. I'm going to the Gotham game. Gotham are going to be playing Kansas City.
Yep. I know. I was waiting. It's like, so what, should we do something funny or just chill?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What are we gonna do?
don't have too much fun out there, Kansas City. It's Ali Krieger's last regular season game potentially. But the it's gonna be genuinely like really exciting. I recommend everybody tune in. The there is a there's just something to incredible. This is what I was going to ask you.
Uh-huh.
People asking you, like, why don't you go as hard? And this is a thing Alexis and I talk about all the time, that there maybe it's a double standard. It is what it is. I think we're getting to a point where the vitriol, the criticism, even maybe the negativity about women's sports and their sporting only, not the fact that it's women playing sports. You know what I mean?
Right. It's yeah.
We're getting to the point where men can also make genuine criticisms of women playing a sport, and people are like, okay, he's criticizing them how they're playing,
right?
But he don't hate women. Okay,
that is a very fine line. Let me tell you,
you can't be lumped in, because there's a lot of dudes out here that are making it look bad. Right. Making us look bad, because we're like, we're just trying to say, like, yo, it's a bad first touch. And then and then some other dude is like, yeah, it's a bad first touch because women shouldn't be. And we're like, no.
Delete.
That's not who we are. So that's the thing. It's like, you know what? I watch your live streams of Kansas City Current. And realistically, if you lost your mind like you do with Sporting Kansas City, that's kind of the risk you take, that some people are going to be like, oh, he's another toxic, whatever.
Here's a trick. This is the easy trick.
Okay.
If you celebrate just as much as you go absolutely ham,
right?
That's the only thing you got to do, baby. If I'm over here like, we're winning it all, baby, just like, let's go. And then, you know, like 10 minutes later, I'm like, that's the worst pass I've ever seen in my life. You know, that we're good, baby. I haven't gotten, thank the Lord, I haven't gotten that mix up yet.
It's interesting because there was a coach, I forgot who it was, but there was a coach in Europe that coached in NWSL, which I just can't remember his name, but I sort of remember the quotes. And he was talking about NWSL in a very, like, oh, it's so, like, physical and like, almost like implying that there's no technical ability. Like, it's just a bunch of kind of athletes out there, and it's physical, and the fouling is hard and stuff like that. And it makes me think about the, you know, even the Women's World Cup, where, like, yeah, the U.S., I mean, not to say that we don't have technical. I still think we have the best players in the world. Like from like, we may not have the best team right now, but as far as like individual positions, players, there's few on the Spanish national team that I would pick over an American player, and that's even some of the Ballon d'Or winners, and maybe that's a controversial take or whatever. But that's just how I feel.
Yeah.
But there, I think in the women's game, we're kind of getting to the point where American soccer can deal with some of the criticism that the U.S. men get of like technical ability and you know, they shouldn't be playing multiple sports when they're at the youth level and blah blah blah. But I think it's kind of a good sign that we can hear that about the women's game as well, where the standard is being raised to such a high level where, we're going to need to have an American, you know, Dabinha that can, like, really shine with the ball. Maybe that's Trinity Rodman now, but maybe we just need, like, more of those.
Yeah, I think a great example, because I was trying to, like, legitimately, I'm the first one in my family to watch women's football in general. I don't even, it's not like my family are like, I can't watch that. It just never was a thing at all. Like, I mean, up until last year, my own mother didn't even know Argentina had a women's team. Actually, for a while, we didn't. We got rid of it, sadly. But I can see the differences where, like, on the Argentinian side, there's not a lot of that care and that anger or positivity either way, and they're just kind of, like, there. And it's very sad to see, and it's so good to see. You know, it's an awkward thing to say, but, like, you definitely need some of those people to go out and say, hey, she didn't play well this game. This is why. Has nothing to do, you know, with this person's sex or what they identify as or anything. It just has to do with their playing ability. And I think, especially because they didn't do as well as, you know, we all wanted in the World Cup, that now everyone's like, hey, we're the best, baby. Let's act like the best. We should be playing. These countries are passing us. Let's get back. So I think it's transitioning into our league. So now our league, obviously we have some of those players on these teams, and now these fans of these players are all like, hey, this person needs to play this way or that way or whatever. It's awesome. Yeah. And before, you guys have done this way before me, but like, I'm sure there's been years of like, no real, like some people like on Reddit, I see people going, how can I find a podcast that talks in depth about, you know, women's soccer? Like, you guys are up there. There's a very few amount of people that do it seriously or and even like in a relaxed way. It's just too either too analytical or just too goofy. No one cares about it. There's just a weird mix. So I think we're in the early stages, but this is going to sound really wild. But it was almost a good thing that they didn't play in the World Cup just to spice it up. We got young ladies that are going to be playing well. I'm saying we because I'm just like sneaking myself in there like, yeah, Team USA, let's go, baby. Come on.
I completely agree. This is going to be an interesting weekend. You know, final matches for Megan Rapinoe, for Ali Krieger. There's going to be heartbreak. There's going to be tears. But I'm very, very excited about the NWSL playoffs coming up. All right, let's get to our interview with Scott Boggins. So obviously, Messi Meets America, available on Apple TV Plus right now. Go check it out. Let's hear what he has to say, because, I mean, nobody's more interested and excited about hearing more about Messi than Carincho is. So
I can't
here it is.
Wait.
Here's my conversation with Scott Boggins.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We are joined by a great guest. He is the executive producer of Messi Meets America on Apple TV, and I'm excited to talk to him because this we've called this the summer of Messi. It's been remarkable. It's been, I think, mind blowing for especially on our show. We've been just like leading into this, like, is he coming? Is he not? And then he's here, and it's like, what is this world? What world are we living in? So I am here with Scott Boggins. Thank you so much for joining me. And let's do the elevator pitch real quick. This documentary obviously follows Messi and him being in the United States in Fort Lauderdale. What is the first sort of impressions of like getting this doc out there and getting, what are people going to see when they watch this?
Well, first of all, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. We're super excited about the series on Apple TV Plus. It has been a remarkable summer. I think you encapsulated it perfectly. It's been the summer of Messi. It just has. You know, it's been dramatic. It's been compelling. Like, it's been a head scratcher. Like, you really don't, what happened during the League's Cup, you were like, wait a minute, what are we witnessing in here? It's like, this team has not played together very long. And yes, they have the greatest of all time on the pitch. You know, but, you know, they would fully admit that it's a village, right? It takes more and you need more. And everyone on that team elevated to a level that they had not ever elevated to before as a team. And to see how that had been accomplished in such short order. And, you know, I'm with a documentary unit and we're behind the scenes. And we're just thrilled beyond belief. It's like we're documenting history.
It's gold. I mean,
it's like you've never seen this before. And so then, you know, on top of this magical run, they're going to Dallas, their first road game, you know, Frisco, Texas, had never seen anything quite like this. They sell out in literally 8 minutes. Okay. It's a packed stadium. It's hot. It's like well over 100 degrees.
I've been to Frisco. Yeah.
It's the hottest I personally have been in, weather I've been in. And so we're interviewing the mayor of Frisco, and he's just like, and he's, you know, we don't, you know, he puts it in terms that, you know, is relatable to everyday people, that they are really excited to participate and to be a part of history. And right. So that to me has been sort of the most remarkable aspect of this whole thing.
Yeah, and you got to get to witness those incredible moments. I mean, the free kick against Cruz Azul. I mean, that the way we got sort of introduced to Messi's magic. Capturing something like that is exciting, but then I'm sure you're also capturing what Beckham's reaction, the Moss family's reaction, the celebrities that are at the game. So when it comes to the circus around Messi, I'm curious about how you sort of capture that, how you felt about it. I mean, I don't know if you went to Publix with Messi to go grocery shopping with the family, but he sort of changed the sort of landscape of the sort of the way we think of sports in South Florida, with like absolute madness with people around him. Was there ever a moment that you felt like genuinely uncomfortable with or worried about your safety when it came to the rabid fans around him?
Well, the fans are passionate. They love the game, and so, there was never any thought of that. It was amazing to, I've never experienced something like this before. And I have been to a lot of different sporting events. I've been to Olympic Games and I've been to NBA championships and, I've even been to Ryder Cups, and that can get pretty, pretty passionate, but this was different. This was really different. And I've mentioned this before. It's like the first day of filming was the event where they introduced him to Miami, to the world. And that wasn't even like, it wasn't a sporting event. It was a welcome event. And the power of that moment and the feeling in that stadium was nothing I had ever experienced before. It just like you're from South Florida, the rain was like,
right.
It was just coming down in buckets. Everyone was wet. The stage was wet. Right. The field was a soggy mess. And it didn't matter, because he comes out, and before he comes out, it's, the entire is messy. And I was, in the bowels of the stadium. I could just hear the messy, the thunder of it all, and you couldn't, and you go out and you couldn't hear. You had the spotlight on him, and it was just like, I've never experienced anything like that. And that was day one of shooting. I was like, okay, well, we got something here. I don't know where this is going, but I do know where it's going. It's going to go to the end of the season. I don't know how the team is going to go. I just know that we have this energy, this power, and what I learned, it wasn't just happening in Miami. It was happening everywhere. I mean, everywhere. And that was, as a storyteller, just a thrill to be a part of.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like it's not just a soccer player arriving in Miami. It's like people are like, oh, is the Pope here? It is quite intense. He is Argentinian, so you don't know what his footballing skills are like as well. I'm curious. You mentioned you've obviously directed and executive produced other sports documentaries, a lot of other shows, and been a part of it. Is what is your relationship with soccer, and how did this documentary kind of affect that? Did it help it grow or make you see the sport in a different way? I know you've also worked on a documentary about Liverpool being Liverpool. So what was, it is Messi, so a much grander figure, yeah. But what did your relationship with the sport, how was it affected?
I mean, I've been really, really fortunate in my career to get some amazing opportunities to tell stories. And you mentioned one of them would be in Liverpool. That was a very cool project to be a part of. This one was just completely different. And what I've learned through the course of my career is that you learn from every single project. And I've been, again, very fortunate to work on, docu-follow projects in different sports. And so you just take the accumulative wealth of experience, and it just gives you experience to be able to pivot and know where you can possibly go, because every project is different. Every team is different. And in this particular case, this player is magical. And, I mean, he's the best ever. And so, so this project was incredibly unique, and I could not be more honored to have, you know, been able to be a part of it. I mean, the team that I work with, and we're, you know, we're turning this show around, as a quick turnaround. And Apple TV Plus has given us that opportunity. You know, there's really good documentaries that chart a season, but then air like 6 months later.
Right, right.
This is not one of them. We are documenting the moment and showing people on Apple TV Plus right now what's happening right now. And I think that's really unique, and I think that's really powerful because it gives people real insight and understanding of a story that they're reading about. It really was the summer of Messi. And so to have a 6-part series then give you a whole lot more of that summer of Messi, I'm just super proud and super excited that we have gotten that opportunity to do that.
No, well, I'm excited to relive it because it was great in real time, and it'd be really cool to see, you know, what happened behind the scenes. You know, speaking of my last question, it's interesting that Messi ended up at Inter Miami, especially with, you know, one of the owners being David Beckham. And a lot of things we hear about, I've met David Beckham, and one of the things that's very surprising is this person who is one of the most famous people that the world has sort of ever seen is incredibly normal and humble. And we hear a lot of the same comments about Messi. Is there anything you learned about the parallels between these two people and getting to talk to them so much?
It's a great question. So you're going to see later in the series, really relatable moments, priceless moments in Leo's life. You know, we've heard that he is humble. We've heard that he's a great family man, a great dad. We have gotten the opportunity to capture that, and he's been incredibly gracious with his time. Inter Miami has been incredibly cooperative. You know, MLS have been wonderful partners. Everyone sees a real opportunity here to not only showcase the next chapter of a very storied career, but its impact on this country. And those opportunities don't come along every day. And to have those partnerships and this opportunity that Apple TV Plus has provided, as you know, as a person who produces documentaries, it's all you can hope for.
Right. Yeah, no, it's exciting. I'm just a huge advocate of just the growth of American soccer. And I think this documentary is going to be a big part of that growth. We don't know how long exactly Messi is going to be in Major League Soccer, so we have to capitalize as much as possible. So this is awesome. The documentary is available now on Apple TV Plus. So please go check it out. Messi Meets America. This has been awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time, Scott. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Shout out to Scott Bigans coming through on the Cooligans, talking Lionel Messi, talking Beckham and everything. But the documentary is great, and it is a very interesting. You know, we get to see sort of obviously the big moments as Messi's been here, you know, playing for Inter Miami. But there's also a lot of really, really cool kind of behind the scenes stuff from Witty. Witty's in the Witty. Chris Witty.
Bro, Alexis is in it. What are we
Alexis
mean?
Is in the damn the damn documentary. But we get to hear from Benjamin Kremaski. We get to hear from DeAndre Yedlin of like all these guys and what it's like to play with Messi. It's like a really, really cool behind the scenes look at all that stuff. So a lot of fun. So go check it out. Kevincho. Before we go, I just want to quickly mention the MLS end of year awards are coming up. I'm a voter.
Yes.
You we've learned that you are not a voter, but
no,
this is
no.
I'm gonna we are this show's here to petition.
Let's
go.
Kevincho.
Yes, please.
Kevincho should be a voter in the MLS end of year awards because the requirement is someone who covers the league and is you know, kind of
obnoxious,
engaged, obnoxious. Nobody covers the league louder than Carincho. So
seriously,
MLS.
They turn me, everybody turns me down. They're like, it's a Kevin
MLS,
video, sir.
You know what to do. So. Real quick, I sent you, you know, maybe you can help me.
Yeah.
On maybe just the first couple MVP. I mean,
Lucho for me.
Lucho feels like the correct Argentinian number 10, even though Messi is on the ballot and we can't vote. Yeah. Does it feel weird to not vote for Messi when he is on any ballot?
Okay. No, it's actually more weird to not. I mean, it's more weird to say he's like could be MVP for playing like 20 minutes. It's No.
Bro. Coach of the year.
This what? One, I want it's this is impossible because I want to say what's his name in St. Louis? What's his name?
Carnell. Bradley Carnell.
I feel that's just, I don't know. This is a newcomer me feeling. I
what's
feel like
impressive?
I have to give it to him.
It's like, because I think I've seen the votes from some of the other people, and it's either Bradley Carnell or Pat Noonan from FC Cincinnati. For FC Cincinnati to win the Supporter Shield from, I mean, wooden spoon to Supporter Shield is pretty wild.
Yes.
It's a huge turnaround. So what's almost like more impressive? An expansion team finishing first in the Western Conference or a historically bad MLS team winning the Supporter Shield? It's a tough choice. Decision, but it feels I'm always generally more comfortable giving that award to the whoever wins the Supporter Shield, whatever coach wins the Supporter Shield.
That
but I can see Carnell getting it there. What's the comeback player of the year? So this is an interesting one because I've seen a lot of votes for Alan Pulido.
Yeah,
how do you feel?
I actually would say because the stigma around him is like he can't play a full season. He's always injured.
Yeah.
And this season, he hasn't been out really. He bounced back, scored a lot of goals. At one point, he was like in the race for, you know, that golden boot. So, I'm all for Allen for sure. Bias.
Okay. All right. Thank you for helping me with my selections. Hopefully next year you are making your own and I can help you with those.
And then I'll say like, yeah, I knew a guy. I love that.
Can you let people know where to follow you and where to keep up with you?
Sure. I think everything should be Kevincho, so KevinCHO_TV. If not, it's Kevincho Reacts. They're everywhere. I don't know. Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, wherever. Until everything dies off, I'm there.
Go subscribe to his YouTube channel, especially if you want to watch live streams and watch-alongs of matches. I mean, one of the most entertaining people in the American soccer space. Huge, huge fans. Go check him out. Kevincho, thank you so much for joining me. Shout out again to Scott Boggins for coming through as well.
Shout
out Apple TV. Messi Meets America. Go check that out. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all the social handles. Shout out to everybody watching on DraftKings Network, Roku TV, Samsung, wherever you damn watch this thing. And make sure you join the Patreon, patreon.com/soccercooligans. All right, everybody. Peace. Thank you, Kevincho.
Ciao. Thank you, guys.
Oh,
bye.
God!
I need that button, man.
No better way to end the show. Take care,
thank
buddy.
Thank you.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.